Father, we are thankful that we can be here today. Thank you for each of these whose hearts you touched, stirred them, and they wanted to make the choice to gather with your people. We look forward to what you have for us in your word in just a few moments, but we think of these multiple requests and the various topics, some with health, some with hearts, some items of praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we just pray that you would work your will in each of these cases to bring glory to yourself. I especially pray for these whose hearts are hardened to the gospel. Their eyes have been blinded by sin and the devil. Open the eyes of these loved ones that we're so concerned about, who are up there in years but yet seem to be so unconcerned about where their future is going to be. Pray that you would just continue to provide for the needs of each one of us. We thank you that you have our best interests at heart. We commit these things to you and trust that you will work your will and that we would be faithful in giving you the glory for the way you work these things out. In your name I pray, amen. All right. If you like to take, if you like to know the title of what we're studying, I've called this one, Some Things God Does. What does God do? What does God do? Well, there's quite a list. I mean, we know he does everything, but some time ago, this caught my attention, and I jotted it down and put it on the back burner and made a note that this would be a good subject for John's class today. And so what topic or what portion are you talking about, Pastor? Psalm 146. And I invite you to take your Bibles and let's turn to Psalm 146. We'll read it and then we'll start looking at some specifics from it. And I've got the King James, so I won't be messing you up. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. In the first six verses, we are through the first... Let's start all over again. Verses 1 through 6a. 1 through 6a. The psalmist presented his case for the security or the blessedness of only trusting in the Lord God. In fact, he says, even in verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Yes or no? Isn't that a good thing? Sure is. Whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know, we talk about this often, but this world, what a mess it is. Aren't you glad we have a living hope for the future? I'm telling you, every day the news, it makes you want to just dig a hole and poke your head in it. This world is going down, and so wretched and abominable, it's racing the speed that our world is just going down. At every turn. And in these first 5.5 verses through 6a, the blessing of having the God of Israel as your God, whose hope is in him. But then the psalmist listed 10 specific things the Lord does. Did you catch them as we were reading them? That's what caught my attention, and I thought this would be a good Sunday school study to call some things to your attention, hopefully to spark some interest in following through otherwise. All right, having said that, number one, what are the things that the psalmist lists that the Lord does? The first thing in verse 6, B, the end of it, it says, he keepeth truth forever. He keepeth truth forever. This word keepeth here also can mean he preserves. He preserves or keeps truth forever. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to be looking at a lot of different references, so don't close your psalm reference. But in Deuteronomy 7, look at 9 through 11. Deuteronomy 7, 9 through 11. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, this was Moses reviewing Israel's past before the Lord took him home to glory. Know that the Lord thy God, he is God. And what's he called? The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. And so Moses was reminding the Israelites of the fact that their God is the God that keeps his word. He keeps his truth and he keeps his word. We can trust him. Number two, in verse 7 of Psalm 146, it says the second thing that he does, it says that he executeth judgment or justice for the oppressed. Executeth judgment or justice for the oppressed. What does that suggest to you? As God deals with people, what is his pattern? What is he known for? Standing up for them? If somebody is executing justice, what is that suggesting? They're doing what? They're doing what? going after somebody. Pardon? To me, that's the idea that I had in that idea. Rather than going after somebody, he is making sure that what is right is being done. Toward whom? The oppressed. Boy, if anybody needs a fair deal, it's the oppressed, right? Sure. Somebody who is oppressed for whatever reason, they're having a hard enough time with life without having God against them. But here we see the psalmist points out the second thing, as he had said, what a blessing it is to have the God of Israel as his God. He upholds truth, and he makes sure that he executes or fulfills or accomplishes justice for the oppressed. Go back a few psalms to Psalm 94, 14 through 17. Psalm 94, 14 through 17. It says here, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it, who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had what? Almost dwelt inside. I wouldn't have made it if the Lord hadn't have been on my side. And I trust that is the actual belief of each and every one. I hope that's your realization. If we didn't have God on our side, we wouldn't make it. You say, well, look at the world. Yeah, look at the world and look at what they've got. Stan.
That was part of my prayer this morning.
Okay. All right. Sure is. Yeah, Cindy.
Many times I wonder, I say, I don't know how people make it without the Lord.
I know. I don't. But
well, they don't.
More make it without the Lord than those that do. It'd be nice if I could give a nice summary of mankind and say most people are going to heaven. But that's not true. Two gates, Matthew chapter 7, isn't it? Broad, wide is the gate that leads to what? Destruction. And how many go through that gate?
Many.
But narrow or straight is the gate that leads to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Not because God is so hard to find, but it's because sinful man does not want to open his heart to what God has provided for him through his Son. All right, Malachi 3:5 goes with this same one, note takers. Don't start a next line. We got this one last reference. Malachi 3:5. It says, I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." What's the psalmist thanking the Lord for what he does? He executes judgment for the oppressed. Yeah, mankind, it's the weak, the sick, the helpless. They're the ones that so often the world preys on, isn't it? Elderly. There you go. I qualify. And we keep hearing about all the scams that come to the elderly. They're a target. And here we see that, praise the Lord, our God, he executes justice or judgment for the oppressed. Number three, still in verse 7, it says, "which giveth food to the hungry." Here's another thing God does. Where do people get their food from? Well, you get it from the food bank. You get it from welfare. There's some references here. I'll take some help with volunteers. Psalm 107:9. Don't all raise your hands. Oh, thank you, Christy. 136:25, Betty. 145:15, Joan. All right. 107:9. And here we're seeing under this third thing God does, he gives food to the hungry. All right, Christy.
"For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness."
All right. 107:9. 136:25, Betty.
"And who gives food to every creature, his love endures forever."
Wow. Food to every creature. That's the bottom line truth, isn't it? You know, I don't care what continent, I don't care what ocean, I don't care what it is, God provides for each and every living being. If it wasn't for God, they wouldn't exist. And then 145:15, Joan. Yeah, Psalm 145:15. All right, so here we see it found other places, but this is one of the things that the psalmist is especially enumerating, what a blessing it is to have the God of Israel as his God who does all these things. We've seen three. Let's continue. Number four, still in verse 7. It says, "the Lord looseth the prisoners." The Lord looseth the prisoners. These are the ones who are distressed. And these, we see, the psalmist says, become objects of divine compassion. Objects of divine compassion. Here again, I'm going to call for some help. Psalm 102:19-20. Thank you, Doug. Isaiah 49:8-9. Thank you, Gene. Kevin, you take 61:1. Isaiah 61:1. Here we are seeing the thought about what God does for the captives, the prisoners, the ones that are held and bound by something. 102:19-20. All right. Isaiah 49:8-9.
"Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate hostages.
Okay. That was 8 and 9?
No, I haven't done 9 yet.
Okay.
That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness. Show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places.
All right. There again, to the prisoners, you're loosed. Kevin, in 61:1, Isaiah.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
All right. Prisoner to the liberty to the prisoners, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And we see here, this is one of the things the psalmist in Psalm 146 has listed as one of the things God does. He looseth the prisoners. Number five in verse eight, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. As I looked at this, there are promises that have been made to Israel with regard to their future. And it makes reference to opening blind eyes. Isaiah 29:18 tells us this. It says, and your I was in 18, sorry. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. In the context of some of the promises that God has made to Israel with regard to their future, when he's going to be opening their eyes to the truth and reality of who he is. He came to his own, but his own received him not. Why? Because they were what? They were blinded. They could not see. In Isaiah 35, I'm going to just going to start at 1, and we'll read a few verses here. We find here, beginning at Isaiah 35, 1, especially verse 5, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become like a pool. This entire 35th chapter, you need to read it down. It is a chapter in these 10 verses of promised blessings to the nation of Israel when he comes and begins to work specifically with them in the end times, opening their eyes, pouring out all those blessings that they have been waiting on and looking for generations that have not yet happened, because it's not yet time. But when the Lord comes and takes the church out at the rapture, the clock is going to start once again for the nation of Israel, and these blessed truths will come to pass, each and every one of them. So here he's opening the eyes of the blind, especially in relation to Israel. Now, as a passing thought, in the New Testament, during our Lord's earthly ministry here on earth, the New Testament records for us there were several occasions while our Lord was here that he did what? He opened the eyes of the blind. And that's exactly what the psalmist said. He opens the eyes of the blind. And while our Lord was here, he certainly demonstrated that. Number six, still in verse 8 of our psalm. Let me get back there now. In Psalm 146, here it says, "The Lord raiseth up them that are bowed down." Bowed down. The psalmist must have had elderly people in mind. Isn't it something how when we're so young, we can stand up so straight? But as we get older, what happens to us? Down we go. And here we see the psalmist talks about, in a figurative sense, those that are bowed down in distress or humiliation. He could literally do that, and we'll see a New Testament example of that, but the picture here is in a figurative sense. Don't you feel sometimes that you are bowed down with distress, anxiety, problems, things that you just can't shake off, and it's just like it's doing what it's pulling you down? Help, we cry out. God can and will do that. In Psalm 145:14, it says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." So, figurative, that's what it's talking about. We sing a song, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord?" Remember that song? It's an old timer, isn't it? But in reality, as a Christian, I hope that is your song. When you're weighed down, I hope you don't resort to other sources to try to get you through it or try to help you up. It's the Lord. He's the one that can lift us up when we are oppressed or bowed down with the cares, the problems, the difficulties of life. Some of them, in all honesty, we bring on ourselves, don't we? But there are many times they just happen and we haven't had anything to do with it. That's reality too. And the Lord will be there to help. Now, New Testament, Luke 13, 10 to 14. Luke 13, 10 to 14. I was thinking as I looked at this, there was a good passage in the New Testament. Verse 10, "He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no ways lift up herself or straighten herself up." You can just picture her, can't you? so bent down. She had had this for 18 years. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Don't you love it? They're just like a mosquito on a hot summer day, those Pharisees and those rulers of the synagogue. He was with indignation because the Lord had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said to the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath day." The Lord was the Lord of the Sabbath, isn't he? And what a beautiful picture of what the Lord is able to do spiritually, emotionally, as the psalmist spoke of it, but also what he was literally able to do physically. All right. Number 7, still in verse 8. It tells us here, the Lord loveth the righteous. He loves the righteous ones. Time's about shot. There's nobody rang the first bell, but I'm keeping my eye. We've only got about 2 or 3 minutes left here. I need helpers. Psalm 11:7. Christy, I need Psalm 33:5, Betty. I need 45:7, Joan. I need Proverbs 21:1. Joanne. And Matthew 5:6. Thank you, Doug, for scratching your ear. Matthew 5:6. There, I think I heard the first one. It's getting close to the second one, but anyway, we may have to just leave this and let you finish it, but whatever. Okay, let's look at those. He loves the righteous. Psalm 11:7.
For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright.
33:5.
The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love.
45:7, Joan.
They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness.
Proverbs 21:1.
The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will.
21:1? I'm sorry, I guess I gave you the wrong one. Matthew 5:6.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
All right, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Sorry about that mislead on that one, Joanna. Well, for you note takers, here you go. In verse 9 is number 8. He preserveth the strangers. That's number 8. Number 9 in verse 9. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, or restores them. And number 10 is, but the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. He makes it crooked. He overthrows it. Good examples of that is the book of Esther. What was Haman planning on doing to the Jews? And God did what? He turned it over against him. Well, that's quite a list of things our God does. There's certainly many more than these 10 things that are listed. But I trust this was a blessing to you, and it was an encouragement as we think about what our Lord does for us. The Lord bless you as you go.